Well, I don't have a lot of time, so we're just going to start pushing buttons here. So it's just the way it's going to work. We're just going to start pushing some buttons. It's the news, according to me. It is Friday, April 10th, 8:32 a.m. I'm way behind schedule. 2026. We're gonna start doing our thing here. I've got some stuff coming up on the show. I'll tell you all about that in just a second, just a couple seconds here. But, basically, we have it is Friday, Financial Friday here on the show. We are going to talk about a few things. I didn't have one thing. I forgot to set up that one thing. I can probably do it while we're talking here. I'll take a little brief interlude, just a few minutes, and we'll be able to do the whole thing. Anyway, it is. Guy's going crazy in the background. Oh, I have a couple things to work on this morning. Lots of stuff going on politically. We're going to have a little bit of news as well as some talk about stuff that's going on with the financials out there. Where's my notebook? Notebook. There. Oh, no, see, it doesn't just pop up. What is going on with that? I don't understand. And it kind of comes up, doesn't give me a chance to sign in. This is just weird. Notebook LM is a weird animal. Anyway, I've got in my cup. My voice is kind of screwy today. I've got in my cup. I have chai. And it's in an insulated cup this morning, so it's going to stay hot. Let's try it. Ouch, it's almost too hot. That's the problem with the insulated cup. It stays hot, really hot, super hot for a long time. And of course, it settles down after a little while. So I'll be okay. Don't worry. Don't call anybody. I have in my backup cup, I've still got Chick-fil-A, my gallon of Chick-fil-A sweet tea. And I still have my sweet tea cup, Chick-fil-A styrofoam cup from Chick-fil-A. The top is starting to crack on it, but it's, you know, I'm still going to use it because, you know, it's Chick-fil-A. It's a good thing to have. So I'm sponsored by no one, by the way. By the way, this show is sponsored by me and nobody else. So that's, I can say whatever I want. That's the beauty of this show. I have, if there is any beauty in this show, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not especially on Financial Friday. I need to let you know I'm not a financial counselor of any kind. Not certified to do anything other than tell you some opinions I have. It's all for your entertainment only, just to kind of amuse yourself for an hour or whatever hour long it's going to take. Probably not going to be an hour long show, by the way. It's probably only about 45 minutes. I've got to get, you know, out of here. So I got stuff to do. I got places to go. End up in Waterloo, Iowa tonight. I'll be there. There's a Chick-fil-A there, right across from the hotel. It's not too far. Well, it's about a mile, but it's not that far. I consider, you know, I ask the people at the hotel desk, is there anything within walking distance to eat here? And they'll just say, oh no, it's like 3 miles away. Well, that's walking distance. I don't know if you knew this or not, but before cars, you know, people used to walk. And I can walk basically in 45 minutes. I can be 3 miles away, less than an hour. Or I can, you know, sit around and wait. I can wait for an Uber to come get me and take me someplace. Still going to take a half an hour by the time it's all done. And then I got to wait for the Uber to pick me up and, you know, take me back. I'll just start walking. It's just quicker to do that. It's good for me. It's cheaper. Now, if it's raining and pouring down rain, or, you know, 2 degrees below zero or something outside, that's a whole other story. That's a whole different ball game then. But you know, good walking weather or whatever it is, that's what I do. So I have, and by the way, yes, we are going to have, the AI team is here. At least a few of them are. To do the old, well, it looks like it's working. Yeah, it's working. I have surprising. I never shut it off. Actually, I just kept it going. I turned the app off, but I didn't. I left the background Python thing string going. I didn't know it would do that. It's apparently still going. It didn't shut off. So anyway, the it's good to know. It's good to know I can just keep the app going without that. I got a few things going on. So I'll be in Waterloo tonight, and then I think I'm in Wichita tomorrow night. I don't know where I am the next night. I have no idea. All I know is I'm coming home early on Monday morning, and then I'm off for the rest of the month. That's all. I just got to get through these few days, and got a few things I got to work on. In fact, one of the things I'm going to work on is the podcast caller app, the producer caller / caller app, whatever we're going to call the thing. I don't know what we're going to call it. It's going to be done. Anyway, few things there. That's about all there is. I'm going to try to get this other thing up and running on my LM notebook. I'm not sure what's going on with that. I thought I had the app in Google Chrome here, but I don't see it showing up anywhere. I don't know what's going on with that. Anyway, all right, that's all I got to say about that. Let's have a brief interlude, and we will we'll get right back to this.
It's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news. According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
It's the news.
It's the news, yeah.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news. According to me.
And I still don't know anything about what's going on with this thing. I've got Gemini here. What is this? Gemini. Where is Notebook LM? How do I get to Notebook LM? I was just on it yesterday. I just had the thing up and it was working. Where did it go? Where is it? I don't understand. It makes no sense to me. See what we got over here. What do we got over here? My account. What is it? No, that's not. That's something else. I don't understand. I do not understand at all. I absolutely do not understand that whatsoever. That is bizarre. It's El Bizarro. Yeah, I don't know. How about notebook login? Yeah, that's notebook login. Let's try that. See, it just goes back to that same page. Notebook LM. Understand anything. There's no place to log in. Try Notebook LM. Let's try it. Let's just push on that button. Try Notebook LM. Okay, let's try it. And then it pops up with this thing. It's an application. And it pops up, but it's not. It doesn't show up in my applications folder. And I think the reason is because it's under Google. Where is it located? All right, let me see if I can do this. Let's see if we can put, what is that right there? Let me put this right here. Now, sorry, folks, I do apologize for, here we go. I'm gonna show in Finder. How about we just keep it in the dock all the time. It's just always gonna be in the dock. Well, I don't think it's gonna work. I don't think it's gonna happen. Well, it says it is. But I don't see it in the dock there. Okay. All right, so it's supposedly it's going to stay in the dock now, so I can just go to it anytime I want to. That is bizarre, folks. So it comes up over here. Okay, now we got this here. We got this, got that. I can push on this button. I'm going to create something. So anyway, let's first thing I'll get into is I'll talk a little bit about what's going on with Trump and everything that's happening. There's a growing list of people on the right. People that and it's interesting because they're sifting these people are sifting out, in my opinion. They're you have Candace Owens, of course, and then of course I think there was I guess this thing with Alex Jones. I guess that was actually somebody recorded a conversation with him that he didn't know was being recorded. I guess the way I understand it, but he knows he's always being recorded. I think he was recording himself. I think it was it was some kind of a thing where they had this thing. And apparently, he didn't know he was going to be on recording. Or the other person, he knew he was recording, but he didn't know the other person was recording, or didn't know the other person was going to share the recording before he did. Kind of interesting. So I don't know what that's just rumor of what I heard. I don't know what it now. Eric Metaxas is the guy's name. I have a lot of respect for that guy. He absolutely, he's a brilliant mind, first of all. Guy has an incredible understanding of culture, and his mind is very sharp in terms of what's, you know, understanding the world and people. And there are a few people on the planet, in my opinion, who are actually as well grounded as he is. In my humble opinion, now there's people out there that do, but I think he's got, and he's a staunch believer, fierce believer, as far as his faith goes. Not afraid or ashamed to talk about that. Now and that's impressive to me. He'll bring it up in a heartbeat, and make it part of the conversation. But he was having an interesting conversation with somebody who was supposedly a guy on the right as well, who was having some trouble with Trump, and he's becoming very critical of Trump. There's this road that people go down, and it's I've talked about this before, and we'll get into it a little bit into the show here a little further. But it's interesting that these people, you know, Megyn Kelly is somebody that I've never really. How do I say this? I don't know how I hate to put myself in these, paint myself into a corner like this all the time. I have, her character bothers me. There's some things about her that I've mentioned on the show before. I struggle with the way she is, the way she acts sometimes. Yeah, I'm squirming in my chair because it's the same kind of thing with, I noticed this with Candace Owens as well. Alex Jones, I appreciate the fact that the guy's out there and he digs into some things and does some research, and I appreciate some of that. But he's also a little bit off the, he's kind of off kilter a little bit. While he says one thing. You know, him and Steven Crowder got along really well for a little while, and then all of a sudden there was kind of a falling out between those two. And he considers him his friend, but Steven Crowder the other day kind of went after Candace Owens and Megyn Kelly and even Alex Jones a little bit for the stuff that's going on. And Crowder, he always gets his sources, you know, think what you think about Crowder. Now, again, Crowder's another one that I'm not all totally in the tank with him either. I think he's a very immature believer. I think he's a believer. Very, very immature believer. I think he's genuinely, I think he genuinely believes in the Christian faith and actually tries to be a part of that. I think he's attempting to walk down that. And I'm just making my observations. I'm not trying to judge the guy's soul or anything. Everybody's on their path, and you know, hopefully everybody gets there. You know, we're not all where we should be, but we're hopefully going where we need to be. That's the kind of thing. It's it's you know, I don't know. He was kind of going after, and on the finer points of some of the things that they're doing in terms of they're coming against individuals. Now Tucker Carlson's another one. There's several others out there that are not as well known, but they're kind of the right leaning pundits, as you might call them. And they've been making some comments, and it was interesting how Steven Crowder kind of took them down with some of the things they were saying. He really did. He kind of put them in their place. But Eric Metaxas, I think, had the best example. And I think he spelled it out with this guy that he was kind of confronting him about some stuff. And it was interesting because they were both Trump supporters. However, one guy was very, very interestingly how he was responding to what Trump was doing right now. But so it was just, again, one of those things. I wish I could, should have probably recorded the conversation that he had with Eric Metaxas, because it was brilliant the way he responded to what was going on there. But anyway, that's what I've got to say about that. I just moved my mouse over something and it said I couldn't push on the button, but I understand why now. I didn't have a chance to do anything with this with the notebook LM, believe it or not, because I see what we got here. We got see if I can do an audio. It's not the audio overview. I want to do a video overview. I want to do where's it at? It's not even giving me one now. It's an audio overview. Let's see if I can. Ah, here we go. Let's do a brief. Let's do this. Let's do a debate. And let's go with the short version, English. let's talk about this. What I've done here is I've put in this Notebook LM, just so you have an idea. There's this thing you can do a video or audio overview. You can put in deep dive. You can put in brief. You can put in a critique. You can also put in, which it'll give you more critical feedback, which might be kind of interesting to listen to. There's also a debate where these two people will talk about and have a little debate. And you can do a default or is a short length. So what I'm going to put in a default length is a little bit longer. I'm going to make it short. We'll see how long that goes. It may not go long enough for the show, but then what the host should focus on in the episode. I put in inflation and how it affects the majority of the populations. So now let's see what it does with this information. Debate core thesis, targeted perspective, debate structure. Okay, was that, can I add to it? I don't know if that just puts something, that just puts something in there. It's like a pre-programmed thing there. All right, so I'm going to generate that. It may take a couple minutes. Generating audio overview. It says come back in a few minutes. Just come back in a few minutes. we'll continue to talk about this. Let's go to some callers while that's doing its thing. We'll go to some callers over here. Hello. What happened to? Oh, okay. Let's go down here. He's going to clear at the bottom of the list here. See what he has to say this morning. Go ahead, there, caller, and.
Hey there, Kev. Yeah, it's me again. Yeah. Didn't have a chance to talk to you yesterday. Okay. I know it's Financial Friday, but I wanted to get your take on the Iran conflict and all that's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Is all this about Trump really the case, or are they just going off the deep end? I mean, the left has always had a TDS thing happening, but even people on the so-called right seem to be having issues with Trump right now. What's your take?
Well, I was just talking about that. It's funny that you should mention it. I was just talking about it, interestingly enough. I don't know. It's been here's my take on the whole thing. Now, I think Trump is playing the media to get the attention of the Iranians. Now, when he said he's going to wipe out an entire civilization, let's back the truck up here just a minute. He didn't say. In fact, he said he didn't want to do it. That's not something we want to do, but it's something we may have to do. He's not going to obliterate all the people. That's not what he's talking about. When you talk about a civilization, what do you mean by that? I think he's talking about the civilized part of their civilization, of their. He didn't say he's going to wipe out an entire people group. He said he's going to wipe out he's going to bomb them into the Stone Ages. They're still going to be alive. They just won't have anything. All their bridges are going to be down. All their infrastructure is going to be down. He's just going to take everything away from them. Power plants, everything's going to be gone. All the people will still be there. He didn't say he's going to wipe out the population. Now, I think he said it the way he said it. I don't think he sits around and plans this stuff. I think it's just natural for him to do it. I think because he's been playing the media for so long, for so many years, 40 years, the guy's been playing the media, at least, probably 50 years. He understands the media very well. This is a guy who used to sit around. There was somebody who saw him one time when he was, I think it was between wives or wherever, what he was doing. I don't know what he was doing. maybe this was with his first wife. They met him and he was in his, actually met him in his home, and in his, he had like a condominium or whatever he was living in at the time, one of his many. And he was, he had all of these, it was the place where he hung out all most of the time, kind of his office, main office place where he did most of his work. I think this was in, I think it was in New York. And it might have been in Chicago, but I think it was in New York. He had all these, now this was like 40 years ago, at least, collections of news reports. Of course, and this is back in the day when we had newspapers and articles and magazines and everything else that was big, that was the big deal back then. You know, you don't, you just don't see magazines and newspapers around anymore. But he had all this information, and he was keeping track. And of course, almost all of it had something to do with him. It was always whenever he made the news or anything that made the news that was a part of, you know, anything he was involved in, real estate or whatever it was. He was keeping track of all this stuff. He was keeping track of all the data, the information, the news reports. He had clippings of everything around him, and he kind of had this little collection of stuff that he would kind of go over all the time. So he has been a study of the media for a long time. Now, in my opinion, he has played the media, including people on the right. I think he's a little bit shocked about some of the fact that some of the response on some of the people on the right, but they have been basically going on about this whole thing and making it a big deal out of it and making a lot of screams about, oh, he's going to wipe out an entire civilization. Oh, they're screaming about it. That gets the attention of anybody in Iran who's paying attention. If anybody's over there, then they do have people who monitor the news channels here. Now, the fact that they're saying he's crazy, well, that just scares them that much more. Because they know he's not just going to, you know, this is a guy who's unhinged, you know, they just don't know what to think about this guy. He's unpredictable. And the unpredictability is what scares them. They don't know. Maybe he is going to bomb us. Who knows? So I kind of think that's part of the equation, in my opinion. I don't know if that's... Does that make any sense? Is that something you can...
Well, actually, I think you've made some really insightful points.
Of course
there.
I have, yes.
Technically speaking, I agree that Trump is likely playing the media to get the attention of the Iranian regime.
Oh, like I said,
he's a master at controlling the narrative and exploiting the 24/7 news cycle.
Yeah.
And you're right, when he talked about wiping out their civilization, I don't believe he meant literally destroying the entire Iranian population. Rather, I think he was referring to the destruction of their infrastructure and ability to function as a modern, technologically advanced society. The unpredictability of Trump's rhetoric and actions is definitely what has the Iranian leadership on edge.
Yep, yep.
They simply don't know what to expect from him, which makes
I guess that's as much as he's going to talk to me today. And there again, this is the point that I'm getting at is... All he did was rehash everything I already said. it gets a little frustrating, but very affirming, I must say. But it's just very frustrating. So yeah, that's the issue. And you have to understand, there's so much more going on behind the scenes here that we don't understand. Now, my understanding is they've opened up the straits. That's the biggest deal in this whole thing, is that they've opened up the straits. Now, I don't know how long that's going to go. I don't know what's going to happen with that. Now, in my opinion, that they should just pull a bunch of battleships in there and just say, okay, what are you going to do now? Shall we go after the, you know, what are we going to do here? What do you want to do? Until they blink. And the... You know, I don't know. The Iranian, here's how crazy this is. Trump starts talking about blowing up bridges, starts talking about blowing up power plants. So the Iranian government tells people to bring their children and stand on the bridges, stand around the power plants with your children, women and children. Because your children will be known as martyrs in the great beyond. sacrifice your children. You have to admire their dedication to this. But you also have to realize how insanely evil this is. They know that we care enough about humanity that we will not just blow up their children. So they put their children there as shields. They're hiding behind women and children. Now, they won't go out there and stand on the bridges. Of course not. They want you to go out there and do that. Which is where I find it to be extremely ironic. They get mad when we, you know, when one of their leaders gets killed. They want vengeance. Well, why do you want vengeance? And didn't they just become a martyr and go into this wonderful world of highly elevated whatever? You should be grateful. You should be thankful. But no. It's a messed up ideology. It's a messed up religion. It's a made up religion. Let me just get clear about that. Lots of issues there. So that's kind of thing. I think it just tells you something about which side you're on, doesn't it? I mean, in terms of who would do that? Why wouldn't they be building bunkers for their kids and for their women and children? No, we're going to have them go out there and stand on the bridge so we can use them as propaganda after, you know, if they get killed out there. That's their whole purpose. Just amazes me. Just absolutely amazes me that it happens that way. Now, all right, let's get into this whole, this thing looks like it's done. We have, got these two people. This is going to be interesting to see. We're going to discover this together. I've never done this with the debate things. We're going to see how this goes. Now, I don't know if it's going to give me an opportunity to actually weigh in on this or not. It doesn't look like it. I don't think it's going to let me interactive. It doesn't have interactive mode, so I can't participate in this one. Let me see what's going on here. Ed. Oh, that's my little thingy there. I'm going to do that. We have, means I'm supposed to get going. Yeah, let's go ahead and play this. I think we're just going to play it, see what happens. We're going to over this together.
Welcome to the debate. Right now, a household earning $133,000 a year, which puts them in the top 25% of the country, is, well, mathematically, one minor emergency away from running a monthly deficit.
Yep, it's pretty staggering.
Right? Today, we are unpacking why the math of a quote-unquote normal life has fundamentally broken down under the weight of, 2026's rolling inflation.
And whether there's actually a way out. Because, look, we are looking at a structural reality where the cost of existing has permanently outpaced what most employers pay. Systemic living costs have just eaten the very margin people need to survive.
But I argue the data tells a different story. Traditional budgeting might be dead, sure, but aggressive market discipline and asset accumulation, well, they still provide a mathematical roadmap to outrun these price collapses.
I hear that, but I argue the macro environment has fundamentally altered household math. It's turned the stock market from an accessible investment vehicle into basically an exclusionary toll road.
Okay, but look at the mechanics of the supply shocks we're facing right now. The Strait of Hormuz closure isn't just some distant geopolitical headline, right?
No, definitely not.
It bottlenecks global shipping, which instantly spikes diesel fuel. That higher transport cost then ripples into everything we buy. That's what causes these rolling inflation waves. But historically, investing consistently during these exact fear periods is the only way to capture wealth.
Wait, capturing wealth while things fall apart?
Exactly. The S&P 500 acts as a lifeboat specifically because those companies pass their increased supply chain costs directly onto consumers. That drives up their nominal earnings. If you hold index funds through the crisis, you capture that inflation rather than just paying for it.
Okay, that lifeboat analogy works perfectly if you can actually afford a ticket.
Well, Yeah, you have to prioritize.
No, but your framework relies entirely on available capital. Let's look at how the math actually functions for a median earner making, say, $78,000.
Right.
By the time they clear a $1,490 median rent, cover a $50,000 used car at current elevated interest rates, and pay basic utilities, they have less than $1,500 left. That is before food.
It's tight, I know.
It's impossible. With over half the country unable to cover a $1,000 emergency without taking on debt, buying equity in the S&P 500 just isn't a strategy the majority can implement.
Let me jump in here for just a minute, if I may. They're not going to be able to hear me, obviously. They're a machine, by the way. And I don't know if we're going to talk about this or not. Because we're living in this together. We're discovering this together, even as we speak here. But my point in this whole thing would be that people are living beyond their means. If you're making $78,000 a year, I get it. That's tough, especially if you got kids. I get it. It all depends on where you're living. There are places in the country where $78,000 a year, you're going to be doing very well. Well, that's not very well. Just like she said, $133,000 a year is the top 25% of the country. I understand. I get it. My wife and I, five years, been doing very well with regard to that kind of income. But however, and it's still tight. Stuff is still tight. Now, we are packing money away. We're saving money. But there's always the opportunity. There's always the ability to save money. Now, at the same time, it's just, you're just living beyond your means. There's no other way to put that. He said something about a $50,000 car. What, dude? I've got five cars and I don't have $50,000 invested in all of them. I've got a couple motorhomes. One of them's for sale, by the way, if you'd like to buy it. Just saying. But I have, I don't have $50,000 invested in all five of those. I mean, obviously, the first one I bought, the truck was a brand new truck, and that was probably 20. I paid for that 23, I think, something like that at the time. It was 20 years ago, 22 years ago, and I had. That was an investment that was more than, that. I guess that one plus, see what else we have. We have 2, 3, 4. What is that one? Even with that one, I don't think we have even $50,000 invested in all of our cars. Why are you buying a car for $50,000? I don't, that blows my mind that people are willing to spend that kind of money on a car. When a $10,000 used car will do the same job. It just blows my mind. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would have gone right down that road had I probably not had a little bit of awakening at some point in my life. But that's, again, it's just the mindset of, Dave Ramsey puts this very well. Most people buy a car because of how other people will see them in their car, because of what they're, when they show up to something that, that's what they want to be seen in their car. It's more about, what people think of them in that car or with that car. So that's more of the thing, in my opinion. Now, I look at somebody who's very successful and has a frugal, decent car. It's a good, it's not falling apart. Doesn't have, the mufflers fixed. It's in good mechanical condition. But they're getting, my car's got 332,000 miles on it. I'm not ashamed of that.
That severe lack of margin is exactly why sitting in cash is so dangerous right now. I mean, when inflation is acting like a compounding tax, holding cash in a 2026 bank account isn't sitting still.
It's losing value.
It is actively melting. That's why ruthless prioritization is non-negotiable. With national credit card debt over $1 trillion at 20% interest, individuals have to cut deeply to find anything to put into assets that outrun prices.
Cut what exactly?
even if that means making radical lifestyle changes around costs like daycare, which, you know, now rivals rent.
You're asking people to ruthlessly prioritize when the floor has already fallen out. You mentioned daycare. That $14,760 average cost isn't discretionary.
Sure, but there are alternatives.
People need childcare to go to the jobs that pay the wages that are falling behind. You are handing a compound interest pamphlet to someone treading water with ankle weights.
I didn't push my button there. I'm going to interrupt this guy right here. This is an issue where you need to start adding this stuff up. You got to pay $14,000 a year for childcare. You got to pay for a car to get back and forth to work. You got to, or whatever kind of transportation you're using. The additional cost of meals that you probably, you know, unless you're packing your food all the time. The clothes you have to buy, all the things that you have to have to have that job. Now, if you're a single parent, that's where we're at with that whole thing. That's fine. But a married couple, maybe you need to think about having just a single family income and saving the money, so the one person can work on being frugal and making the home work, kind of the homestead kind of thing, maybe doing as much as you possibly can rather than just spending money on everything. You know, cooking meals, doing all those kinds of things that need to happen. I don't care which spouse it is. You don't want it to be me, though, that's for sure. I mean, cooking hot dogs all the time. The point is that money you're spending just to have the job. And on top of that, you're away from your kids. Someone else is raising your kids. How much does that cost? Think about the ramifications of that down the road. Now, for some people, it might be a good idea. I don't know. But it compounds on itself. And that's just where I want to get into this whole thing. So I just think about some of that stuff. Do the math there, folks.
And honestly, those weights are getting heavier. Take the upcoming October grocery shock.
You're talking about the fertilizer shortage.
Exactly. Granular urea is a core nitrogen fertilizer. When global shortages cause its price to spike 50% in a matter of weeks, it bakes a delayed, unavoidable cost into every single crop planted this season.
Right, the lag effect.
Yes, when that hits the produce aisle this fall, it will consume whatever tiny theoretical margin your stock market roadmap assumes these families have. You simply cannot automate investments with a negative bank balance.
The upcoming grocery shock is real, absolutely. But stopping automated investments locks in the loss.
If you have anything to invest at all.
Well, the data proves that the vast majority of the market's best days occur during bear markets or early recoveries. If that family treading water stops investing because groceries got expensive, they miss out on discounted equity prices.
But they can buy groceries.
They might survive October, yeah? But they are mathematically guaranteeing they will drown a decade from now when their purchasing power is completely gone.
I mean, it's not a choice of stopping investments, though. It's the physical impossibility of starting them. Decades of wage stagnation colliding with these supply chain shocks mean the required capital simply does not exist for most.
Look, I think we completely agree that the structural math is broken. Inflation is devastating the middle class, and we can't change the macroeconomic reality.
Right, we definitely agree on the macro problem.
But my view remains that we have to adapt our response. Traditional budgeting is out, and ruthless prioritization to accumulate assets is really the only viable lifeboat left to outrun the melt.
And my view is that we have to acknowledge systemic reality. Those lifeboats are now largely inaccessible. When survival costs outpace median incomes, telling people to buy assets is a denial of the math.
It leaves our listeners to evaluate their own financial margins. Perhaps the defining challenge of this economy isn't deciding where to invest, but finding out if we even have the numbers left to balance the equation in the first place.
Well, that was interesting. Interesting stuff. Pretty good, actually. I think it was kind of. But now the question, of course, you get. Oh, we got a caller. I got a caller. Oh, an AI caller here. It's Well, AI is just taking over the show, I guess, here. We have, let's see what Skippy Skip has to say here this morning.
Hold on there, Kevin. Is inflation actually ever going to go down, or is this just a constant thing we will have to look forward to over the next 20 years? Seems like prices aren't coming down at all lately.
Well, you know, and that's a valid question, and I think it's a question that, that's where I was going to go. That's interesting that you would say that. How'd you know I was going to go there? I have, during the Biden administration, if you'll remember, we had this huge spike in inflation, and they kept telling us, oh, it's just a blip, it's just transient, this is transient inflation. It's going to be a blip, and then it's going to go away, it's going to go back right back down again. You know, but you ask a good question. Does inflation ever go back down? Anytime prices go up, in general, over you know, across the board, when cost of living goes up, does it ever really go down? Or did they just move, you know, wages up to match it? You know, and of course, there's always a shortfall in the process because I think the average cost, I think, of a home, Skip, maybe you know this information, but it's the average price of a home, I think, was five times, or maybe it was three times the average yearly salary or whatever it was back in, you know, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, three or four times the average salary or whatever it was. And now it's exponential. It's like five times the average salary, or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe it was five times. Now it's eight or nine times. It's more, 10 times. Actually, that's probably more realistic. But it's, I don't know. It's just gone. You know, the average, you know, per capita type thing where your earnings match the cost of living have diminished. Even though you're making more, the cost of living is more. You know, it's, so I think that's where part of the problem is. And maybe you've got some more information on that. I don't know. It'd be interesting to know that kind of thing, or right on the fly.
Let me tell you. Back in my day, inflation used to come and go like the tides. Mm-hmm. But these days, it's like it's dug in its heels and doesn't plan on going anywhere. This whole transitory nonsense, I call hogwash on that. Prices keep going up and up, but my paycheck sure ain't keeping pace. Now, hold on. You mentioned those home prices. That's a real eye-opener. Used to be a house was three or four times the average salary. Now it's eight, nine, even 10 times. How in tarnation are young folks supposed to afford?
He just cut himself off. Did you hear what was going on in the background there? I don't know. It sounded like he was in a factory there. I don't know. It's a lot of noise in the background. I'm not sure what's happening there. I don't know if he's out on the factory floor. What was going on there? I don't, maybe you can't. You couldn't hear it, but it was kind of interesting. So anyway, he just started to get into the information that I was kind of interested in. And of course, it cut him off because there's no way I can adjust that on the stupid things. I don't know what's going on with that. Now, again, transient inflation is usually one particular product or like building materials will go up. But it's not, it's, you know, something with the food, like the price of eggs. Well, the Democrats were all over the price of eggs when Trump first got into office. Price of eggs. Jumping all over the price of eggs, like as if we can't live without eggs. Now, that's like saying, well, you walk into a store, well, the price of plywood is really up right now. But everything else in the store is normal. The price of plywood is up. Okay, well, we just wait on the plywood. Let's buy everything else, get the framing done. We'll just see what happens with plywood here. Part of it is a self-fulfilling prophecy. You say, well, there's going to be a shortage on plywood, so everybody goes out and buys plywood. And that just makes the shortage worse. And that just drives the price up. That's good tea. So some of this stuff, it's just craziness. Just market, you know, market. Again, fear and greed drive the market. Even on a micro level, it, at your local store, it's going to be doing the same thing. But this idea of stuff being transient, it wasn't transient during the Biden administration at all. It went up and it hasn't come down. Now things have kind of caught up with it. There are a few things. The one thing that drives it, what's the baseline part of our economy, is oil. gasoline, the price of gasoline, diesel, everything gets shipped on trucks. You know, the nation runs on rubber tires, basically. You have to have shipping, you have to have trucking. By shipping, I mean trucking. That's just, it's a one of the core foundational things in our society. When you stop and think about the number of trucks that go in and out of Chicago every day, just to feed a million people, you know, whatever it is, with millions of people there. How many chickens are fed or eaten every day? There was a guy who did a study. This one couple went down this thing and said there's, you know, every month we, you know, just McDonald's alone, the number of hamburgers they serve in 1 month and how many hamburgers you can make from one cow and then how many cows that has to be. It's like 33,000 cows a day or whatever it is. They're saying we don't have that many cows. Apparently you've never been to Hereford, Texas. All I can say is there are places that have tens of thousands of cows, probably actually more like millions, going through the process of being raised and slaughtered every day. And it is a very, it's a weird process, folks. It is a huge machine of a process. And let's just say you don't want to see how the sausage is made. Let's just put it that way. But there are enough chickens and there are enough beef out there. It does actually exist, folks. Now, of course, they do put fillers and all kinds of other stuff in there. Don't get me wrong. So if you are simply saying, well, you can make, whatever it is, 120 hamburgers out of one cow or whatever it is you're going to say, no, probably twice that, because the amount of fillers they put into stuff, their vegetable stuff they put in, junk and crap. So that's just, just going to put that out there for you. Like I said, you don't want to know. But let's say historically speaking, let's see what Elena has to say. She's the resident historian here. Let's see what she has to say.
Thanks for taking my call, Kevin. Absolutely. Historically speaking, as a historian, typical downturn usually has about an 18-month recovery from start to end. That's what I know and what I've observed historically. Uh-huh. So with everyone talking about recessions and all that stuff, it's important to keep a historical context in mind. Historically speaking.
Are you a historian? You must be a historian. Yeah, I'm not even gonna push on the continue button on that one. I'm just gonna dismiss that one. Okay, we have I'm not gonna hear any more from her. She's gonna rehash whatever I said. It's important to realize that there is a trend. Even the worst of economies, or in the worst of downturns, the worst of recessions, the typical downturn lasts about 18 months, and that's it. It goes away. And like the one lady was saying in the debate thing there, the biggest gain is right at the turn of the bear market. Of course, nobody knows where that's going to be for sure. But the downturn is a time to buy. It's stocks are discounted. Everything in the market's discounted. Most everything. And so you want to jump in then. That's when you want to have some money set aside to buy in. Right now is a great buying market. We had an early on when Trump first took office, there was a downturn because of something. I can't remember what it was. It's always something. And it was downturned because of the tariffs. I think the tariff scare. It was a good time to buy. Now, I didn't buy at that time. I was busy doing other things and I didn't get a chance to do that. But it would have been a good time to buy right in, that whole thing. And I wish I had. Now, again, market's down a little bit right now. Good time to buy. There's a lot of things you can buy right now, but it's questionable who will recover from some of this stuff. And there's always that going on as well. So you got now the biggest thing right now is the straits have been closed, and of course that causes a lot of fear. So you have a lot of speculation on oil prices, and so the gas prices go up, cost of living goes up, the cost of everything goes up because everything gets shipped, trucked. That's what ends up happening with that. So that's kind of where we're at. I think the whole thing about all this is to stay steady with the race. Slow and steady wins the race kind of thing. It's, hang in there as much as you can. Be prepared for downturns like this. I'm not sponsored by anybody, but I do have one of those, freeze dried food things for, several months that I can, I'm thinking about doing another batch of that. Whether you make your own, make your own freeze dry. You can get your own vacuum packing machine and start doing some, you can have a garden, do your stuff. Good time of year to start thinking about that. Grow some food out in your yard, whatever it is. And it doesn't matter if you're living in an apartment, that's a little bit more difficult. But you can grow stuff even in an apartment. There's all kinds of people who are very innovative in terms of doing what's called bucket farming or whatever it is. You put a dirt farm, whatever, put dirt in a bucket and make it work. You can grow some vegetables, grow tomatoes, whatever it is. Some kind of nutrition. Pinto beans or something. I don't know, just whatever it is. Go fishing. Get a fishing license. Go fishing. Get some fish. Fishy fish. Out of that, and you can get some extra heavy metals with that stuff. Some rivers. And we have, so you got all kinds of benefits there. I'll be right back in a minute, and we'll talk about what's going to happen over the weekend and into the next week into the show. So here we go.
It's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
Yeah, according to me.
It's the news.
It's the news.
According to me. According to me.
Yeah. We have call the show. It's 574-651-7685. Call or text the show, or you can go to google.com/voice and put that number in there. 574-651-7685. And leave a message or leave a voicemail and or a text message. Ask a question. Talk about this whole thing about inflation. How is it affecting you? I want to know how it's affecting you. My wonderful, brilliant listeners, people who have decided to listen to the whole show because you're smart. Because it's always right at the end when you get the most out of the show. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe sometimes not. The show tomorrow, Monday morning, Monday's show is going to be a little bit late. If there is a show, it's going to be in the afternoon. However, the rest of the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's going to be on regular schedule. And in fact, the following week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, regular schedule as well, as far as I know. And then into the next month, we go into May. It's looking kind of like I'm not going to get to go to Peru. I was hoping to go to Peru for 10 days in May. Due to the fact that I couldn't move my vacation, that has really thrown a monkey wrench into the whole thing. I've got to try to twist my way into trying to trade my days around in May, depending on what my schedule looks like. And I went from about 10% chance to about a 60%. It would have been about a 90% chance if I could have moved my vacation. And I was kind of hopeful for that. Now it looks like I'm going to be down in there, like the 3% chance that I'm going to be able to actually do this. Just don't think I'm going to get that many days off, first of all, and I'm not going to be able to trade the days I need to trade. My position is pretty high in demand right now, and it's very difficult for me to move stuff. There just isn't enough time on the schedule open that I can trade around with anything. So it's just one of those things where it's a tough situation here. So it looks like I will be home during a time when I was hoping to be in Peru and had some stuff I was going to do down there. But it's like a mission trip type thing. It looks like my wife might get to go. Well, it looks like she's planning on going. So somebody else can take my place if anybody else wants to go to Peru. Anybody out there that wants to go to Peru, or maybe you're in Peru and you'd like to come here so you can go back down there. That'd be weird. Anyway, that's all I got to say about that. What else is going on? I guess that's about it. That's about all I got to tell you. So we have we have a few things to talk about on Monday. But like I said, it's going to be a late show. It'll probably be afternoon. I have a show then, and then we're going to have a live show at some point next week, because that's just, I got so much time on my hands that I can do those kinds of things. Probably going to be Wednesday. That's the plan anyway. See how that works out. Once again, call the show, 574-651-7685, and I want to appreciate all of you. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for all the callers that called in. They can't hear me because they're just machines. It's just, it's a computer. It's an AI thing. Maybe they are listening. I don't know. In the meantime, folks, thanks for subscribing, listening, supporting the channel. Again, I will talk to you on Monday, and have a great weekend. God bless, and see ya.